Get the latest sports in 1 hour. It's Crunch Time, weekdays from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. And now,
check this out.
It's Crunch Time with Steve Tannen.
They think he's a righteous dude.
When I win.
Live from the Papa John's studio.
Wait a minute. Let me get CB on the line. We're green lighting it. It's a go.
And I want full air support. I want tanks and some fire throwers. And I want explosions over here. And I want planes going. Gonna be cool.
Are they gonna bust in here and arrest us?
It's Crunch Time on 95.3 The Score.
Well, hello to you-ish. Tuesday. This ends the first full week of 2020. I am Baba Wawa, and this is 2020. Thanks for tuning in. I enjoy irony. I enjoy, didn't see that one coming.
Irony.
With a very sarcastic tone. So when we get our preview magazines, be it Phil Steele or let's say Sports Illustrated is a perfect. I was looking at the Sports Illustrated College Football Preview magazine, and it had a picture of Justin Herbert on it. Of course, Sports Illustrated some years back in college started doing regional covers, so it made sense. And it was like, oh, nice call. Ended up being the Rose Bowl winning quarterback. That kind of is impactful in the West. I've got the NBA preview magazine right here. I keep it with me until they get about halfway through the season. I go through it, some highlights. You know, somebody just called up and said, so what do you think of the Timberwolves? I can go back, well, in the preseason, I thought that it almost make me sound like I know what I'm talking about. Between you and I, we know better. And I was just kind of going through all of my NFL notes, and I had just heard whoever did the last update for Tiki and Tierney pointed out that there's now one NFL team without a head coach after a disaster of a season, and it's the Browns. On the cover of the 2019 NFL Preview magazine from Sports Illustrated, it's a Brown cover. There's Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry, and their bold prediction: Cleveland's first division title in 30 years. And I thought, nice call, guys. Nice call. So, there's wrong, and then there's Browns wrong. And a couple years back, so it wasn't this past baseball season, so it would have been last, so 2018, but we were mocking I think it was the year before that, 2017, when they really had a disaster of a year. There was this like consensus among baseball people. That's a terrible thing to say. The people who cover baseball for ESPN, CBS Sports Radio, Sports Illustrated, and just riding the Seattle Mariner bandwagon. And I remember it's like, I'm going to need you to base it on something. Because the year before last, remember, they did make a run unexpectedly in 2018. And it was 2017. And I'm looking at it and I'm looking at it. And I remember thinking, no, not even sort of. Not even Tommy Lasorda. And it's like, you're really going to try and make your big, bold call on the Browns in football? I mean, the only two worst calls or equally bad calls or neighborhood bad calls are the Jets or the Lions. So on March 12th, so you said the Browns were winning the North. Is that your big bold prediction?
That's correct. That was the day they traded for Odell Beckham, and I immediately fell in love with them. They had brought back Kitchens. They were last year a little less Hugh Jackson away from maybe making the playoffs after they started with that random tie. I said the Browns are winning the North. The Browns will
Did
have
I get
a
up and
home
leave?
playoff. No, I think you laughed at me. You said, oh, it's the Browns. Oh, the, you know, I was just like, ambition, Steve. Let's have the Browns be, let's just have them root for something. Let's be positive about the Browns for just 45 seconds. And you just came back with, oh, they're the Browns are laughable. They never won the conference.
Wow. And the translation would be?
You were.
Do you have Google Translator?
You were grumpy about it, and you just laughed at all of us, and you ended up being right.
You also didn't live through the back-to-back years where they were winning the AFC Championship game. Ernest Biner was in the end zone celebrating, and he's like, oh, I forgot the ball on the two-yard line. Then they had John Elway pinned in crappy weather deep in his own zone with like a minute and 45 to go, and he would eventually lead the drive. And it's like, until I don't have those fresh in my memory, I can't utter the words the Browns are even good. And it seems like a safe path to take. As far as what's on tap today, well, we've got a nice IPA. We've got What Are You Doing to wrap up crunch time. We'll start looking ahead already. Remember, the Oregon men start the home portion of their conference slate Thursday. Early start. So we mentioned last week, whoever is home, the men or the women, an hour before game time, every home game, we're going to be doing a half-hour pregame leading up to, respectively, Terry John's pregame, Joey Mack's pregame. So, and because with the women, we have to switch stations and be down at Trev's Sports Bar and Grill, here it's a little easier. We basically stop the show at 5, go into our Jerry's Home Improvement Center pregame show at 5, wrap at 5:30, and head over and watch the game. That's what we're going to do on Thursday. And to help us get ready for this,
that's what you're going to do on Thursday because I won't be here.
All right, right, right. You're gone Thursday and Friday?
That's correct, yes.
Why did I know that?
Why didn't you?
I thought you were only not going to be here Friday.
Thursday and Friday. We've only been worried about Friday because of the post-show thing that's going on. And you don't have to worry about that on Thursday, but I also won't be here Thursday. So welcome, everybody, to our pre-show production meeting for the week.
Well, anyway, I'll be heading over on Thursday. And with that thought in mind, we will talk with Ryan Hansen, who is the radio analyst for Arizona. And good team. Three real powerhouse freshmen signed on after they, you know, Arizona missing the tournament is a story. Lou Olson took over for the 83-84 season. They missed the tournament, and they've missed it. Last year was the third time since. So we'll talk about those guys, what they think of Oregon, and, of course, with the Ducks gutting out that victory at Salt Lake City on Saturday, you know, remaining in the top 10. I actually want to start thinking a little bit more about college basketball season. There's some good games tonight. Ohio State and Maryland. And that's 4 o'clock ESPN. Then the follow-up on the Deuce is Baylor, Texas Tech in the Big 12, couple of ranked teams. I also want to get your thoughts on the NFL hires because, by the way, if you want in, 284-8571, it's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. As you guys know, yesterday and last week, all you heard me saying was, oh, the Giants are going to hire Joe Judge as their head coach. The Giants are going to hire Joe Judge as their head coach. The Giants are going to hire Joe Judge as their head coach. Yeah, no one said that. I didn't even hear his name mentioned. I didn't even know who he was until late last night. So,
congratulations.
He was the special teams and wide receiver coach for the Patriots. Mike McCarthy to the Cowboys is kind of interesting. Matt Rhule, however, if they made the right hire, he gets $10 million a year. If they made the wrong hire, he only gets $8.5 million a year. He's got incentives. And this is a guy who in, I think, 22 seasons of coaching has been at the NFL level once when he was an assistant offensive line dude for the Giants the year after they won their last Super Bowl in 2011. You also have the crazy turndowns, which in recent years has been kind of a negotiating staple of NBA players. Anthony Davis was offered 4 years, $146 million. 4 years. Nah. I'm going to go after some real money and pursue in free agent. And I'll tell you what. If you're in know and you're working for the right people and you understand the TV deal and you get that, while that money sounds really good, he could actually probably get a few more dinero as an unrestricted free agent. What exactly that means, one never knows. But, wow, the cabbage being tossed about in the association. Downright scary. Somebody said, I was listening to Rome driving in, and they were talking about the negotiations between Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones. And he spent the night or something?
Big time sleepover party going on at Jerry Jones's, what I'm imagining, mega mansion.
Yeah, I don't think he probably has a split-level duplex.
This thing has just got to be massive, gigantic. I'm thinking multiple pools. I'm thinking multiple in-home movie theaters, one for when Jerry Jones wants to watch whatever he's watching, one for his wife, one for his grandkids, for whatever they want to do. He's got every game system you could ever possibly need. So much white marble everywhere, all over everything. It's just all white, and then all of the tiny little accents are just the stars from the Dallas Cowboy logo. They're all over the place. And they're making s'mores in the backyard. They're hanging out together. He's got a nightie on with a little nightcap. He's hanging
like
around.
Like Ebenezer Scrooge?
Oh, yeah. They're running downstairs, giggling as fast as they can to make some late night snacks, ordering some pizza from whoever to get some of that in. 19 bottles of Johnny Walker Blue, and probably Mike McCarthy, extremely inebriated, signed his contract. All right, Coach
in
Cowboys.
Blood.
Yeah, signs it in blood and passes out after his eighth bottle of Johnny Walker Blue.
I just have this vision of Jerry Jones telling him, you know, here's our guest master suite, you know, probably some just insane place, like you said, with all the bells and whistles, but he's got cameras in there, and he's just watching him. He's like trying to get his body language, and, you know, Jerry falls asleep. And he wakes up, he checks the camera, and McCarthy's gone. Son of a...
Where'd he go? I gotta find him!
What's his kid's name? Steve? I told you not
Steven!
To let him off the premises.
Steven, we lost Mike!
I'm also wondering about the wisdom of that hire. Because the championship the Packers won under McCarthy... I mean, suddenly, that's a really long time ago. I mean, it was the 2010 season, 2011 Super Bowl. They missed the playoffs the last 2 years. He leaves, and they win more games than they've ever won under McCarthy, except for 2011. So it's like, as a rule, don't you prefer when you make an investment or something like this, the graph be going a little more upward?
Well, that's why McCarthy was, you know, out of town. Things got stale. He got very mad at Aaron Rodgers. He took a gamble on himself that, no, I can run an offense without Aaron Rodgers. That can be good. Everybody got mad because everything started to slow down a little bit. We need a little this, a little that. New fresh face comes in. Also helps that you have a full season of Aaron Jones, who is very healthy. Get a couple new wide receivers, draft some good guys on defense, and you fall backwards into a bye, and you're having a great season.
So they won 12 games. games, then 10, then 10, then 7. And then, if you remember, his last year, after 12 games, they fired him at 4-7-1. And Joe Philbin took over before they hired LaFleur. So it's like, I don't know, just... I'm as a Giants fan, and I'll get into this, because it's not my money, I guess I would have preferred them spend on Rhule, but I would rather see them roll the dice on a fresh face or fresh blood than another retread. And of course, like I said yesterday, if word came down they were hiring Jason Garrett to be head coach, I know a bunch of Giants fans who would have been starting a GoFundMe for bail money and a good trial lawyer. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Josh. Josh, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, Steve. I was going to chime in. I didn't get a call in yesterday. I chimed in about the Titans. But before that, because you guys are talking about Mike McCarthy, my big thing about Mike McCarthy hire is that that guy, what, he spent 12, 13 years with the Packers?
Yeah.
And the entire time, he had a top 20 quarterback of all time playing for him, and he won one Super Bowl.
Right.
Like, I think this is a recipe for disaster. I think Dallas is... He spent the night at Jerry Jones' house, and Jerry Jones just liked him and hired him. And this is typical Jerry Jones. This is going to be a dumpster fire, is what I think.
Yeah, and not only did he win the one Super Bowl, he only made it to one. I mean, you know, you got to consider they weren't consistently close.
No, not at all. I mean, a Super Bowl winning coach, that he has that in his resume, but I just don't think that's the end all be all and the savior for the whole thing. But the reason I called in is I didn't get to call in yesterday, but the Titans, I'm stoked. You know, I'm stoked that they upseated the Patriots. I still think, though, being a guy from Eugene who watched Mariota every day, Mariota is a better quarterback than Tannehill. Tannehill is just better for that system. And if we're not willing to budge or adjust our playbook like Baltimore did, then, yeah, this is the way to go. I just I think that too many people are like nationwide or throwing so many accolades at Tannehill, but he threw for 70-something yards.
Yep.
He threw 70-something yards. They put his head on a stick and won him out of town. I just Derrick Henry is the savior end-all be-all on that team.
And the funny thing is, all year long the joke was, so are the Browns now America's team? Well, for getting the Patriots out of our lives for a postseason, I think the Titans are now America's team.
I think they are. And I, first of all, as a Titans fan, I am the one when they did. I will full-heartedly admit when they drafted Derrick Henry, I'm like, what the heck are we doing? We have DeMarco Murray, so I was missed the ball on that. But it's just that I just have the insight, and I'm not even an Oregon fan. But I have the insight of watching Mariota every day, and then seeing the opposite playbooks that we run. I'm like, that is not what Mariota does. So we were setting up to fail to begin with. So this national narrative that Tannehill is this savior and better quarterback than Mariota is garbage. But, you know, I mean, he's better fit for whatever this offense that Vrabel's trying to run. I mean, if that's what we're going to do, Tannehill's better for it.
Well, if you also could run the ball with your stud back for 180 yards a game, that makes quarterbacking a hell of a lot easier.
It does make it a lot easier. And for whatever reason, given his history, he is a second half of the season back for whatever reason. I mean, his numbers the last couple of years have been inflated the second half of the season.
No, quite. And he was just a horse. I mean, that one drive when they went 75 yards, he ran for 53, caught the one pass for 22, then scored. I mean, that was just right in your back. That was a thing of beauty.
Well, and the other thing is, I will give this, when they went to punt the ball in the 30-something yard line, I was screaming at the TV. I was like, what are you doing? Like, we need to go for it. When he started playing the Belichick game, though, and all of a sudden we rattled off a minute plus off the clock, and we're punting from the 50-yard line and pinning them down, that was awesome.
Yep. All right. Hey.
Well,
thanks a lot,
hey,
Josh. Have a good one, man. All right. 284-8571. Tis your Oregon Fuel Injection hotline. You could also hit us up via the text line, 3210824. On Twitter, it's at 953thescore. For the station, for the show, got a really, really, really big show at Sports Talk 953. For Nick, it is at Rick Nodgers. Just some of the fun stuff I've come across on Twitter in the last day or so. So there's this site, I should say this handle, that talks about 70s sports. But then they dipped into the 80s and they showed a picture of Daryl Strawberry as a young Met. And it said, if there was one baseball player who you can go back and give their career a do-over, who would you pick? I actually thought, you know, you could extend that to every other sport. But I thought it was interesting they picked Strawberry because while Daryl was a unique talent and had that spectacular gene, in a lot of ways, just for his swing and the majestic homers he hit, he was kind of junior before junior, but as a right fielder and a bigger guy with more of a hole in his swing, and he didn't have, you know, a 20th of the defensive prowess that Griffey Jr. had, I was like, no. There's really only one answer if you were alive back then. It was Dwight Gooden.
Bo Jackson.
Well, he got injured. It wasn't self-inflicted. I think what they were looking at is you give the guy his career and just like, don't do that. Put the white powder down. You know, don't forget that you just won the World Series and the parade's the next day and you're up some crack house. So the thing is, as good as Strawman was and as much potential as he had flaws. Like I said, he was a 6'6 guy. We talked about this with Aaron Judge a couple years ago. It's just, it's rare that guys that big don't end up with a bunch of strikeouts, a lot of hitting slumps. And Strawberry was a right fielder who, like, field fly ball. He had a strong arm, but he didn't have much range. Dwight Gooden was perfect. Dwight Gooden was a flawless pitcher. I mean, you know, he gave up runs and he lost games. But his first 2 years, 84 and 85 especially, when he went 24-4, won the pitcher's triple crown, it was like, we should be making the case now, is Dwight Gooden the greatest post-World War II pitcher, period. Just not righty, not National Leaguer, just there was nothing like him. And he ended up having, you know, a successful career. He won a World Series, won a Cy Young, won another World Series with the Yankees in 96, pitched a no-hitter. But this is a guy who should have won 350, 360 games, won four. He should have been Clemens without the juice, as dominating as he was. So when I saw that, I was like, no, you got it wrong. It was, you got the, even on that team, which is now 35 years ago, you got it wrong. They didn't respond to me. They were mad. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's take a break, and upon our return, we'll have an update and more Crunch Time. 95.3, The Score.
We're riding the waves of technology just for you. You can call the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline at 284-8571. Text 321-0824. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953.
Against Harrison, measuring it, stepping back, 30-footer, good! It's automatic for Luka Doncic. The basket by Wright by Doncic gives him the triple-double as he drives into the lane, hangs and scores again, looking for the foul. Didn't get the call, but he got the step on Dunn anyway, and it's a 38-point game.
Completed, finished, over with, and done. As we welcome you back, Luka, 38-11-10. The Godfather, Doncic, as the Mavs dump the Bulls. That's not really an accomplishment. Chuck Cooperstein, the longtime voice of the Dallas Mavericks, on the call there as we welcome you back to Crunch Time on 95.3 The Score. I saw the tweet from the Pac-12 Network. Jonathan Smith signing a 3-year extension with Oregon State. Well done there. The fact that he took that program in shambles, disarray, after Gary Anderson was like, I'm not going to be here. Wait a minute. That should have been the original one. Because he really just was like, I looked around, I'm out. Out of the contest. And he said it before Magic did. Except he didn't offer a hint. He was just like, I'm the coach, bye.
He couldn't have delivered that line.
No, nobody ever can. No, that's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous concept that anybody can quit.
It's not even worth
happier.
I don't even care if there are other people that have literally done that before. Even in this, no, it doesn't even apply. Magic was the first to do it. He's the last to do it.
The bottom line is, like I always say, sometimes you can only tie. You can only match perfection. You know, if you get a 10 as an Olympic gymnast, nobody's beating you. It might tie you. It's going to take a hell of an effort. So good luck with all that. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline on a Tuesday. Let's bring in Steven. Steven, good afternoon. How you doing?
Hi, Steve. Hi, Steve Tannen. Steven Baroni, Social Water Boy for NCU. How do you like the idea when I wrote to the New York Yankees Donations Department this month, I said I want them to give a lot of charity to a lot of athletes around the world, even to orphans. And I said, because I get sponsored by them as an orphan a long time ago, being paid through Steve Howe. I said, thank you for paying for my adoption, but how do you like it about them paying to worldwide athletes and to orphans as a charity?
Who, the Yankees?
Yes, I put that request actually to the Yankees this month. Actually, I said, please sponsor NCU, Oregon Duck athletes, and orphans. And I'm waiting for a response from the donations department of the New York Yankees.
Well, that's a heck of an effort there, Stephen. And well done on your behalf. As always, have a good one. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Sometimes when people I associate with, we shouldn't be allowed to speak after like the third glass of wine. So the question is, do you have to be a sports fan to have those aggravating sports dreams? Like you can't run and, you know, you all of a sudden you're playing football and then you don't have pads on. One of my most recurring frustrating sports dreams is I'm playing golf, but I don't have room to swing, or the ball is like not sitting still, or it's wedged up against something. And I'm telling you, it's frustrating as all hell. And I know that because I had one last night. And it's like, well, I think you have to be a sports fan because you got to understand. You can't be like, I'm not going to understand if I have a dream about, I'm just not able to knit properly. I don't understand the basic concept, how somebody could take a ball of yarn and two pointy metal things, and like in 2 days, oh, here's a sweater. How? What do you? I don't understand how this came to be. I have a better concept of trying, you know, launch angles in baseball, or, you know, the difference between hitting your 53 or 58 degree wedge into the green, depending on if you're 47 or 62 yards away. So I see people, and it used to be when I traveled a lot and when I commuted, that became like a thing in Philadelphia in the late 80s. You would see women on SEPTA, Southeast Pennsylvania Transit, on buses and trains, and they'd be knitting on the bus. And, you know, when you follow a routine and you had to catch the 7:42 down to Walnut Street so you could be to work at time, and I'd be like, man, multicolored sweaters and stuff like that, I'd be like, you could spend 60 years with me and I'd wind up burning down knit factories, yarn factories. It's just like, I don't get it. It would be frustrating, but man, In the dreams, that stupid golf ball, and then finally I'll have it. All right, it's in a nice spot, and then it'd be like, well, I can't hit it in here. There'd be like a wall behind me, or just now I don't know where the green is. By the way, not like golf's aggravating enough. Now it's got to be haunting me in my friggin' dreams.
It's also January. It's raining outside. It's been a while since you've golfed. It's going to be a while until it's nice enough to golf. And you're out
and make
here
me
having
real aggravated.
Right, and you're just getting mad about dreams. I had a semi-sports related dream last night. I had, for some reason, Scott Van Pelt asked me to use his credit card to get him some cash out of the ATM. He only had $3,000 in his account, and he told me, I do it all for free. And he's slowly spending his money away.
Jealous.
Yeah.
Your dream kicks my dream's ass.
I don't know why. Scott Van Pelt, he just didn't have a lot of money. He's like, I work here for free. I like sports.
Oh, you know, that reminds me. I threw it out on Twitter when it happened, but the night, I guess it was Friday, when we went to the Oregon women's game, and Scott Van Pelt, his hour SportsCenter is really as good, I think, as sports-themed television has ever gotten. Beyond the information, beyond the fact that everybody really loves this guy, so he gets the interviews. You know, if there's a great college basketball game and Marquette, you know, just beat Villanova, you know, he'll have the guy who hit the buzzer-beating three, and he'll talk to him, and they'll joke around, and everybody seems to enjoy being on his show. And then near the end of the hour, he'll start doing some highlights, and they'll be what you would call not what you usually see. And though progress has been made, you really don't see a lot of highlights of women's basketball on SportsCenter until it gets later in the year. Maybe if there's a record being set, maybe if it's UConn. But he did the highlights of the Oregon game when they played Colorado. And he was talking about Sabrina and mentioned something along the lines of, you know, well, Oregon, because they have Sabrina Ionescu, won by like 100. And he showed the shot that she hit front rim, top of the backboard, and went in. And then he showed Sabully's drive to the bucket where she drove lefty, went around her back, threw it in righty, and got fouled. And, I mean, it's Scott Van Pelt talking about a regular season game early in conference play with Stanford Steve. And that moment, there are local broadcasts, there are other networks. They're not more sports fans watching anything than they are that. I'll tell you that much. So that was really cool. I actually paused it because I wanted to show it to my wife. I was like, trying to explain, you don't see this. That's what this program and what Sabrina has done.
I don't even watch Scott Van Pelt's SportsCenter show. I don't watch SportsCenter a whole bunch, which made my dream especially weird that I would be interacting with Scott Van Pelt to the level where he's like, here's my credit card.
Well, that's good.
I need some cash out of my ATM, but it's not like I'm making billionaire money working on SportsCenter, the big show, or anything like that. He's just got a couple grand in there. He's working for free. Made no sense to me.
Yeah, he had the radio show for a lot of years. Then he announced he was leaving, and all of a sudden they were like, well, now there's just going to be a Scott Van Pelt-based sports center. And it was like, well, how the hell does that work? The answer is like that. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So I was thinking about, oh, by the way, great story. So the running back for the Raiders, his name is Josh Jacobs. So he just bought his dad a house. Now, it's in Oklahoma, so he grew up in Tulsa, and he was a single dad, and they were homeless frequently. Five kids, single dad, periodically had to live out of their car. And to go full circle, I mean, he's a rookie, and he surprised his dad and bought him a house. And it was like, now that's a feel-good story. No question about it. Because, you know, a lot of times with What Are You Doing and Tool Shed, it seems the negativity and the idiocy have a tendency to take a more prominent stage, if I'm saying it. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I also wanted to talk about this news. So we've got the 2017 Astros, 2018 Red Sox. So what's next? We're going to find out the Nats cheated as well? Because what are you laughing at? Unrelated Jones strikes again. And I think I've made it pretty clear, being from Jersey, I could be a little cynical. And I also, I'm starting to think I might have a little kind of leftover naivete in me. And I'll explain exactly why I mean that. But first, let's get a phone call in to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We go bring in Wyatt. Wyatt, good afternoon. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing, man?
All right. What's up?
Nothing. So I've just recently been getting into some betting, and I was wondering, tonight I got Creighton by 2 against Villanova, and I know it's kind of a risky bet, but I was just wondering your opinion on the game overall and the spread.
Okay. Got to be honest, I follow Villanova a lot more than Creighton. The Cats, while they are ranked going on the road, they've actually, I think they made it up to, number 7 or 8 in the country. And you look at their losses on the road at Ohio State against Baylor, who's now up to number 6 in the country. And they went on the road in the Big East last time and got beat by 11 at Marquette. And being a big fan, Coach Wright and Nova, he has been saying he's been disappointed in his team's performance on the road. It's just really strange you happen to bring up that game because, you know, it's kind of a random game here. But I guess if the coach himself is concerned about the play of his team on the road, maybe you're on to something there. And the only loss that the Blue Jays have at home is against that really good Butler team who just knocked them off. So you got two teams in rebound mode. One of them is at home. So, yeah, I like the play. I think also most people would think, Nova, Creighton, give the Cats the edge. Team who's won two of the last four national championships. So I like it. It's a bold call. But, and Wyatt, I'll attest, Nick could attest, if I actually knew the answers to these questions rather than give an opinion, we'd be having this show live from my mansion in Vegas, just lounging around the pool.
Like you would still do a show. Come on.
All right. I was trying to mix it in saying, how about this? Had we been having this conversation and I actually knew for sure what I was talking about and I was still doing the show, it would be poolside in my Vegas mansion, okay? Is that better, Nick?
You're going to bring all of those electronics right to the side of a pool? No, thank you, Steve.
Yes.
Let's at least have you on a raised patio above the pool so that if there's any water mishaps,
yeah, I guess electrocution
is danger. We definitely need to cover from the sun. We've had some problems with that in the
danger.
Past.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. For the record, Marcus Zagorowski was the guy that Jay Wright was talking about. He is he's a really good player. He scores 18 points a game. He rebounds. He defends. He's a Massachusetts kid. He dimes. I mean, you get a guy at college who averages 18 points, 5 assists, and 4 rebounds. You're talking about a baller. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. Since it's a Tuesday, we'll wrap Crunch Time with...
Wait a second.
With...
What are you doing?
Next, 95.3 The Score.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk, your home for the Coors Light scoreboard and the refreshing tweet of the day. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
It feels that way, G. And you know what I've been talking about with the Dallas Cowboys. Will you allow Mike McCarthy to do his job? That's the number one question. Because if you do, we've seen him have success. Now, there were some things that transpired at the end of his run in Green Bay that makes you question this. And it was only 2 guys interviewed. So they all obviously identified Mike McCarthy as their guy.
That's Marcus Spears of ESPN questioning if Mike McCarthy is the right move for the Cowboys based on how he finished in Green Bay. At this point, it doesn't matter because he's the coach of the Cowboys after a sleepover with Jera. All right, 284-8571 is the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, which we are locking down because it's that time on a Tuesday. We wrap Crunch Time in wonder. We bring those questions to life. We're amazed at what comes out of people's mouths or the behavior of supposed adults. It's called, What Are You Doing? Let's let Nick start.
To Bill Polian, I ask.
What are you doing?
As a general manager, Bill Polian got himself into the Hall of Fame by putting together the Buffalo Bills teams that lost four consecutive Super Bowls, giving the Carolina Panthers a decent head start when they became an NFL franchise in 1995, and then picking Peyton Manning over Ryan Leaf, and I no longer value his football opinions. He looked at Lamar Jackson when he was coming out in the 2018 draft, the same Lamar Jackson that had won the Heisman as a true sophomore, and then during his junior season, put up even better numbers as a quarterback, and Polian said he should play wide receiver. Quote, I was wrong because I used the old traditional quarterback standard with him, which is clearly why John Harbaugh and Ozzie Newsome were more prescient than I was, and Greg Roman has found a way in how he's developed the system to use those dynamic skills. Bottom line, I was wrong, end quote. While, quote, traditional quarterback standard is certainly a phrase that stands out in that apology from last November, it appears Polian did not have a change of heart when it came to his all-pro vote, because he voted for Russell Wilson first team over Lamar, and yet two other people also didn't vote for Jackson, but those two other people also didn't publicly stand by their comments that he shouldn't be playing the position he's playing. What did Jackson do to you, Bill? Because there has to be something going on here that made you this mad at him, because he's been the best quarterback in the league this year, and no Seahawks over Lamar value, whatever. None of that, any argument that he makes about that holds no weight for me after this. He's just a grumpy old man with bad football opinions and was in large part a loser in the NFL, and it's time for him to go away, as I ask.
What are you doing?
He was a loser in the
NFL. He won a Super Bowl. Get out of here.
I can't even answer that. I'm going to go Cleveland Cavalier forward, Kevin Love, who I ask.
What are you doing?
I always saw this guy as kind of the picture of maturity from that moment when he was abused by the disgusting fans at Mac Court, the lone time he played here in 2008. Then the way he conducted himself with the T-Wolves, then Cleveland. Well, apparently he's growing into a bit of a grumpy old man at 31. He acted like a petulant child towards his coaches and teammates in a loss to Oklahoma City over the weekend, threw a really hard pass just in anger, then dogged it getting back on defense, had his back turned to the opposition, and allowed an uncontested bucket that he didn't even see. Then he got into a verbal altercation with the Cavalier GM. That, to his credit, he copped to acting like a 13-year-old and not a 31-year-old. But if you see some of the film, dude just went pure sheed with the emotional control of a heartbroken teenager. Hopefully it was just a bad week, as we ask.
What are you doing?
To a Canadian father in a Montreal bakery, I ask.
What are you doing?
This one's going to be weird. Tanya Levesque was trying to be a very good mother for her son, Jacob. Jacob was celebrating his 8th birthday, and he wanted a Toronto Maple Leafs cake for his 3rd birthday in a row. Unfortunately for Tania, she sent her husband, Matthew, to get the cake, and this is where things get really weird. Turns out the bakery they went to didn't have the NHL Toronto Maple Leafs logo on hand, and Matthew told the bakery to Google it. Now, this is a small mistake by Dad to not pull out his phone and show them what the logo looks like so they can know what they're looking for when they Google it, and it shouldn't have taken you that long, and it's also a birthday cake for your son. Get it right, Dad. A bigger mistake here is by the bakery, who was going on the first result that popped up when you Google Maple Leaf, which is a logo for a meatpacking company. I tested this out myself, and the Toronto Maple Leafs logo is about the 700th image that pops up. This is also in Montreal, Canada. Hockey is kind of a big deal there. I get not everybody's a sports fan, so they might not know about the NHL Maple Leafs, but really, how do you mess this up? Are you even that Canadian? Or do you in Montreal hate the Toronto Maple Leafs that much that you would actually ruin an 8-year-old's birthday party? Little Jacob didn't even eat a bite of his cake. He was so mad. You ruined a child's birthday for no good reason, as I ask.
What are you doing?
No good reason.
To the Boston Red Sox, I ask.
What are you doing?
Et tu, Brute? So with the Patriots, Astros, and now perhaps 2018 Bo Sox, have we taken, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, perhaps to an extreme. Now the Athletic reports that the World Series winners 2 years ago illegally used video replay, well, the room, to steal signs. In this case, players walk into the unguarded replay room during regular season games. They watch and are able to decipher opponent sign sequences. That information is relayed to a runner on second, who in turn clues in the hitter. So it worked with guy on second, maybe sometimes with a guy on first. Did not happen during the playoffs because MLB had an in-person monitor in the room. But we should point out during the regular season, the Red Sox led Major League Baseball in runs. It's just disturbing that the best in the world have to resort to this nonsense as we ask.
What are you doing?
Maybe they're the best because they're cheating.
Maybe.
Doing it better than everybody else. To defensive coordinators that keep covering the quarterback in the Wildcat formation, I ask.
What are you doing?
This one is very specific, but the Saints ran a hell of a lot of Wildcat this year with Taysom Hill, and why not? He's a pretty versatile weapon. And kudos for Sean Payton for figuring out how to use less of Drew Brees in his offense and still win. What I don't get is why coordinators keep telling their teams to cover the other quarterback on the field who's lined up at wide receiver during these plays. There's that gif of Mark Sanchez nearly flinching out of his skin when he was lined up at wide receiver because the corner took half a step towards him. There was Jay Cutler, who was lined up in one of the least athletic stances I've ever seen line up during an NFL game, and really with every quarterback that lines up at not a quarterback, they look sad that they're not running this play. And they never get the ball in that formation. It's a run up the middle 95% of the time, and the other 5% of the time, it's a run to whatever the far side of the field is. Why, as a defensive coordinator, are you wasting one of the guys on the field to guard someone who's job it is to stand like a statue? Do you really think the other OC is gonna, if he sees his quarterback standing there alone, he's gonna do let's have my running back throw a long wobbly pass across the other side of the field to have my face of the franchise get absolutely destroyed out there standing on an island? No, they wouldn't do that. So leave him alone. And until that quarterback does get flattened, I'm not gonna believe it will happen. So just leave him alone, as I ask.
What are you doing?
To the XFL, I ask.
Oh, boy. What are you doing?
Remember the failed 2001 experiment, anything to be different, no coin toss, to the concussion inviting rumbles between two players, the idiotic names on the back, all kicks through the end zone, not through the end zone, had to be returned, all that crap. Well, now they've come out for WWE, the Gridiron Phase 2, with a couple dozen changes away from what is being called conventional football, a.k.a. actual quality football. And thank goodness we get a three-tiered extra point, because that was a real concern. We get options, a one-pointer, a two-pointer, and three-pointer, because I can't think of a play in football where you get rewarded with 3 points. For the record, they've already opened camp, and the 10-week regular season starts the weekend after the real football season ends, you know, the Super Bowl. Because, you know, March is really football season. Or that might be owned by other sports. We'll see, as we ask.
What are you doing?
All right, that brings us to the end of the 3 o'clock hour, looking ahead to the 4 o'clock hour. At the bottom of the hour, Ryan Hansen, radio analyst, Arizona, start thinking about Pac-12 hoops. Next, 95.3, The Score.
I'm not going to be here.